Next, we are going to learn about COVID-19 and the IDEA. We have two great speakers joining us. First is Janet Little Horton of Thompson & Horton. She has represented public schools for her entire legal career. She is a former public school teacher and has significant experience working with districts in all aspects of disputes involving IDEA and students with disabilities. She is the past chair of the Texas Association of School Boards, Council of School Attorneys, of the state and the State Bar of Texas, Texas School Law Section, where she received the prestigious Kelly Frells Lifetime Achievement Award. And that was in 2017. She is the Texas Monthly Super Lawyer, a graduate of the University of Texas and the University of Texas School of Law, and she is a frequent and highly sought after speaker at local, state, and national levels. Joining her is Portia Telly. Portia is a staff attorney at the Texas State Teachers Association. She went to Duke University for undergraduate and graduated from the North Carolina Central University School of Law. You have a very interesting bio, by the way. She has a degree in French and International Comparative Studies. She was a judicial intern and started her legal career in Atlanta, Georgia, when she finally returned then to home in Killeen, Texas, where she taught French and coached basketball. She served as a parent advocate for the Bell County Child Protection Court and has a number of interesting experience including public information, being public information officer at Round Rock ISD. And she is an active member at the Bell County Bar Association and Centex Area Alliance of Black School Educators. And she is a mentor for students as well. So thank you for doing that. Welcome both Janet and Portia, and we look forward to hearing about COVID-19 and the IDEA.
So this morning, we continue to talk about and deal with the effects of COVID-19 pandemic. When the schools closed in March of 2020, I thought it would be for a couple of weeks. I think most other people did too. But instead, we ended up with the schools closed for the entire school year. Schools switched to remote instruction, trying to figure out how to get computers to students, how to set up hotspots, most importantly, how to feed kids who relied on school for their nutrition for most of the day, and also what is remote instruction supposed to look like and how in the world are we going to implement it. The requirements and the timelines of IDEA and Part B remained in full force. The Department of Ed looked at that, and the Secretary of Education came to the conclusion that there were no changes that were necessary during the pandemic. If a district provided any educational services, then it had a duty to provide a free, appropriate public education to its students with disabilities. One of the first issues that schools dealt with was remote instruction, a change of placement. That was litigated in various parts of the country. There was some historical precedence. For example, this case from Hawaii a while ago when the school system ran out of money, they began closing schools every Friday. And it was alleged that that was a change of placement. But the court there said no, Congress never intended IDEA to apply to system-wide changes that a school district made. There were cases across the country that looked at this issue. Here's one from New Mexico where the court held that there was no general right to in-person education under the Constitution. The Department of Education issued lots of guidance, lots of question and answer documents. In one of them, it said schools must make every effort to continue to provide children with disabilities with special education and related services that were appropriate for their needs. One early case here in Texas was this Georgetown case where the school district argued that it had done everything possible to be able to provide services to the student, but the hearing officer in that case said no, they had not made every effort and ordered some compensatory services and reimbursement for some services that the parent had gotten. The big question with regard to compensatory services were, was it owed simply because every school district in the state had closed and had gone to remote learning? Schools were struggling with that issue and began on their own collecting data, individualized data about performance before, during, and after school closure, and trying to make individualized decisions on levels of performance and whether compensatory services should be provided.